Where were you the day that you found out that they'd just signed the Declaration of Independence? Where were you the day you heard that Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse? Where were you when the Kaiser was shot? Where were you the day the bombs fell at Pearl Harbor? These are questions that I imagine people who are sitting right where you're sitting now have asked each other throughout the centuries. My grandparents' generation would have asked, where were you on VE Day or VJ Day? My mother's generation, where were you when Kennedy was shot? My generation, where were you when the Challenger exploded? But for all of us sitting here today, we can all ask each other, where were you on September 11th, 2001, 15 years ago, on a morning as beautiful as this one is today, a crisp, late summer, early fall morning, when our world changed. Some of you were actually there in New York City. Some were here in Philadelphia but had loved ones there. Others, like myself, at the time I lived in New Orleans. And it was my mother who called and said, turn on the television. I had no idea what she was talking about. She said, they've hit the World Trade Center. And the World Trade Center in New York City was so far from my consciousness that I assumed she meant the one in New Orleans. And so I went and turned on the television, and there it was. And by the time one of them was smoking, and by the time I had sat down in front of the TV, the second one was hit. And so probably like me, the rest of you were transfixed and saw that loop over and over and over again on the news, seemingly endlessly. And so, of course, today we come together 15 years later to think about that day, to remember what happened, to remember how we felt. But of course, primarily we want to remember those who lost their lives on that day, those who lost their lives subsequently because of that day, because they were exposed to chemicals and debris from the wreckage site, those who were first responders, and those who still bear the painful wounds of that day in their hearts. You know, it was, from my perspective, surreal to watch it on television. And I don't use that word too much. I think it's overused, but in this case, it's accurate. It was surreal. It was like watching a disaster movie. It took a while to sink in that this was actually happening. And so, like our ancestors in faith who have gone before us, who've come together here in this place, to pray for our nation, to pray for people who are suffering, for people who have died. We remember this day in our generation. But I will say, I think, that our world has changed from the time of the American Revolution, from the time of the Civil War, and even from the time of the world wars. Certainly there were far-reaching implications to all of those things. But with this particular disaster that we remember today, September 11th, 2001, I think we can safely say that that changed the world instantly. We all live in a different place now, post-9/11 world. Some of our younger members of our congregation probably don't remember the world before that. You know, there are certain things now that we've had to give up. For example, I remember as a child just being able to walk into a public building because you were a citizen and, you know, your tax dollars paid for that building, and it was a matter of pride. You didn't have to go through a metal detector or get searched. Certainly getting on an airplane was a lot easier. And those were just some of the things, some of the little really minor things if you think about it. What we have to really think about is what is our response to tragedy like this as followers of Jesus Christ. It's very easy as a human being to want to lash out and get revenge. And certainly, since that time, we have been embroiled in multiple conflicts in various places throughout the world. And I think there is a sense among the people of this country that we're tired of that. That's a different sermon. And I'm not here to tell you that when an outside force comes and deliberately and without provocation attacks us on our soil and kills our citizens, that we should not respond in an appropriate manner. That's the way of the world. However, we've got to carry that with us and think about, yes, we need to protect our national security. Yes, we need to protect our citizens. Yes, we need to search for justice when we are wronged. But as we prayed together in that collect for the nation, which is one of the longer collects in the prayer book, it really sets forward, I think, what it means to be an American who is a follower of Jesus Christ. As Americans, regardless of our faith, I think we are called to be leaders in this world and to be, for lack of a better term, the good guys. I know we have not always lived up to that, but we are called to a higher standard. We're called to follow the rules that we set forth for the rest of the world to follow and lead by example. We are called always to do what is right in the times of prosperity, but also in those times of disaster, as we prayed, that especially in those times we do not lose sight of the one we follow, of the one we call Lord. We do not fall into the temptation to look to the evil one who tempts us with the false comfort of blind retribution and rage. We are called as Americans and as Christian Americans to, even in the hardest times, even in the face of unspeakable disaster, to look to the face of Christ, to look to the wounds of Christ and his hands and his feet and his side, his brow pierced by the crown of thorns, and know that when we suffer, he suffers with us. He suffered like that so that we can have hope when we suffer. We know that even in our darkest times, hope is not lost. Even when it seems that evil pervades every corner of our society and our common life, we know that the light of Christ never goes out. So it's fitting that we come together on this day to remember those who are gone, to remember those whose lives were taken from them, to remember their families who now live with that loss and pain for the rest of their lives, but also to set our sights in remembrance of them and in obedience to Jesus on the future ahead, on leading as Christian Americans in this world, being a voice for peace, being a voice for justice and reconciliation amongst the peoples of the world, so that when the eyes of the world turn to us, which they frequently do, and which they will be certainly doing in the coming months, people can look to this nation and to the good people who live here and who call this place home, whether you were born here, whether your family's been here since colonial times, or whether you just got off the boat yourself. They can look at us as one people unified under one great ideal, that out of many we become one, which is so similar, isn't it, to our ideals as Christians. Out of many, all around the world, we become one under Jesus Christ. So let us always rejoice in the suffering of Christ, who suffered so that we might not, who suffered so that all may come into his saving embrace, and who leads us all, who leads all of us closer and closer to that heavenly kingdom where there are no tears, where there is no war, where we live forever in peace and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.